Well, if you've got your Bibles, turn to the section that Argus read from 1 John chapter 3. Now, if you're visiting with us today, we're looking through the epistles or the letters of John. If you like to take notes, you'll find in the pew a blue sheet, and there are some spares out here if you've missed out. And if you think, oh, that's interesting, well, the copies of the last few weeks are on that back shelf there. Please take what you want. Interesting, for those of you who grew up in perhaps a country church, often the pulpit or the lectern had words carved into it. In some churches, they had it printed, and they assumed that the minister would be male, so they often had printed, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And I think what John is wanting to say to us, people, we would see Jesus. And not only does he say that, but he said, I've sent you a letter. I've sent you a letter. And this is the letter about God. Those of you who are old enough to remember the Eliza Doolittle in My Fair Lady, when she was in love with her speech therapist, so to speak, said, I'm sick of words. If you're in love, show me. And in a way, this is what God says. And I've got it there. I love you is often easy for us to say. But what does God say back to us? Actually, if you do love me, show me. And that's a little bit of what we're going to hear today as we look at this section of scripture, from 1 John. If you love me, show me. Now, you may or may not remember, but John, early in his letters, said there are three tests. And then to reinforce that so that we get the message, he's going back through each of those tests just to elaborate a bit and to say, this is actually what I'm saying. And so last week we looked at the moral test, and this week we're actually looking at the social test. We're reminded that we are born of God. So if we are born of God, if we are children of God, then we reflect, we show the quality of our Father. And that's what we saw last week. We live a righteous life. I've just put up there that it's important for us to remember that the moral test is righteous living. And that righteous living is challenged because Jesus is coming again. Now, it confuses me that when Jesus said, I'll be coming back, but no one knows when, that people spend a lot of their life speculating. People write books. Maybe I'm not on the same wavelength, but I think that if Jesus said he doesn't know, well, I'm not going to know, no matter how many hours I sit down and think. Jesus is coming again, great. And what was the challenge of Jesus coming again? It was to live with the reality that he's coming again. So I don't want to upset anyone who likes to spend time trying to work out the days and the months, but I just would like us to all be living as if Jesus is really coming again, and to be prepared. Then there's the social test that we're going to look at today, and then there's the doctrinal test about truth that we will look at next week. I've said last week, as Christians, we reveal or reflect our Father, and we've been reminded in so many ways this morning how fortunate we are that the love of God has been lavished on it. You know, not just meagre, not just a pinch, like a pinch of salt, but lavished on it. Nothing that God does is mean or meagre. And we as Christians should be the same. Nothing that we do in that sense should be mean or meagre. We of all people should be super duper generous. Very generous because of the way God has blessed us. So we see in verse 10 that he moves, and that was the end of last week, might be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor loves his brother. And that gives the segue into love. And that's where we're going today. Now, in verse 11, we're reminded, it's a message that we've heard from, it's not new. God's love and our challenge to love is not new, John is saying. This is the message that we've had right from the beginning. So don't think I've come to teach you anything new. But he's not talking into thin air. He's talking into a culture. I mean, there were lots of other religious groups going on at this time. And this is what he's saying to the people who had an heretical belief. You see, they said, we have a certain knowledge. And some of them would say, it has only just come. What he is saying is, no, actually, the message that I am preaching and telling has been for ages. This is not a new message. And it's open and it's public. See, some of these heretics say, oh, this is private. No. The message is open, it is public, and that's the Christian message. Friend, it's not just for a select few. It's not just for a super little exclusive group. It's for everyone. And it is grounded in truth, and it's from the beginning. Love one another. Now, he then goes on to give an example. Don't be like Cain. He was the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Well, why did he murder him? People have said all sorts of things. They've said, oh, you know, one sacrifice was better than the other and all the rest. Well, here there's a very simple explanation, and it is simple because it says, he murdered him because his brother's actions were righteous and his deeds were evil. Well, what did Jesus say about righteousness? And he just brings that into the New Testament. He said, you know, who are righteous? Who are blessed? Well, blessed are the righteous. Why? Because they're righteous. We've talked about suffering. Isn't that expected as God's people? It's expected that simply because we live a life that is a challenge to the way other people live or the world lives, there will be a reaction. It's like two kingdoms coming head on. So we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus says that. He says in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is how the kingdom of heaven is going to operate. Those who are righteous and part of the kingdom of heaven are going to find themselves in situations of conflict. That's just simply how it is. And he uses that illustration of those two brothers. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Jesus said, Satan is a liar and a murderer. So he just links that in, and this is where it comes from. There's a jealousy somehow in these things. It's strange, isn't it, how people are jealous of people who do the right thing or who live a godly life. There's a reaction, an antagonism. So, unfortunately, friends, that seems to be how it is, and it also seems to be getting worse. There seems to be more, even on national levels, against Christians, and we find groups all around the world that have just in some ways lived peacefully together, and now all of a sudden there's antagonism towards the Christians. There's persecution of the Christians. So we try and stand with those of our brothers and sisters who are suffering, but at the same time, as Lindy read out to us, we have no idea of what that is like. No idea at all. So, but we have this situation. And jealousy leads to hatred, leads to murder. And, yeah, it's amazing, really, how quickly that can go. John moves on now and he says, well, look, just to have a look, because there is a difference for those who live in the church or who are part of the kingdom of God and those who are not. Don't wonder, he says, don't wonder in verse 13 that the world hates you. It hated Jesus. So if we're on his side, we're going to be in strife. We have passed from death into life. Why? Because we believe everything in the Bible. Now, it's interesting, that's not what he says here. We have passed from death into life. The Living puts it like this. We have gone from hell and we're given eternal life. But have a look in whatever translation you've got there. We have passed from death to life because we love our brothers and sisters. Because we have a love for brothers and sisters. That's interesting, isn't it? You see, this is what John is saying. He's saying there are three things that are going to determine where we stand. Last week, our righteous living. This week, our love for each other. And next week, the fact that we adhere to the truth. But it's interesting, we've passed from death to life because of our love for each other. Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a challenge, hey? Bit of a challenge that we love each other with the love of Jesus. Well, I've got on the front here that word agape, which is unconditional. It's just phenomenal to me sometimes when I'm looking through things and putting bits together that I think, agape, love without condition. How amazing. And then from John 3:16, which you would have all learnt, I think, at Sunday school, for God so loved the world. Have a look at the world that we've just talked about, how fractured and damaged. Has God withdrawn his love? No, he still loves. However, we have passed from hell into eternal life, however we understand hell and however we think about hell. Now, love is never in Scripture, as I may have said many times, marshmallowy emotional thought. Let's get that right out of our head. It's not marshmallowy thought. It's a preeminent Christian virtue, We are the people of God. We are the people who demonstrate the love of God. It's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We cannot make it up. Spirit of God dwelling in us, producing the fruit of God's Spirit. We cannot pretend to have this love. We can't love each other with human love. It has to be the love of God. It's a sign of the reality of our faith, and it's the greatest abiding virtue or grace. So love of other Christians. Now, I'm not going to ask you to look around the room and think, well, I get on pretty well with that person, but oh, I'm glad I'm sitting on the other side of the church. And I'm sure that if we were allowed to hug and greet, there would be a wonderful mix. That'll be a wonderful day when we're allowed to come back and do that. And I'm sure that's just how we want to express at one level our love for each other. But I hope at another level you sometimes take your church directory and that you just go through that and you just pray for people in the church, even for people who you may not know, but their little photo is there, and you pray for those people. And then I hope if there's someone who's upset you in some way, that you pray for them. Not that they'll change, because they may never change, but that you will change, and that the love of God will allow you to love them with that same love. See, everything about God is practical. Nothing is up there, from my point of view. If we're Christian, we're Christian every day of the week, and we put it into action. And that's how we live. We don't just pretend. And that's really what John is saying. Don't pretend. Don't talk about loving Jesus if you don't love each other. That's the reality. That's the reality. I've got down at the bottom there, love, light and life compared with hatred, darkness and death. We understand the comparison with those things. Now, if we look on a little bit in verse 15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. How amazing that Jesus, even on the cross, is praying, forgive, because these people don't actually know what they're doing. You know, we don't have to be shoving a knife into someone or holding a gun at someone's head to be murdering them. It's very easy to murder a person's reputation. It's very easy to talk about a person and to infer something about a person. And I think that that can be just as serious as actually a knife or a gun. So we need to be careful, Christians. It's no wonder that God says basically keep your mouth shut and your ears open, because that mouth can do a lot of damage, a lot of damage. Jesus lays down his life for us. How wonderful. Opposite St. Augustine's church there in Unley Road, there's a memorial park. Many of you have passed it a lot. And in the archway, it's got their sacrifice, our freedom. Their sacrifice, our freedom. It's interesting on sort of a park dedicated to memorial after war, but isn't that true? His sacrifice, our freedom. A freedom to what? A freedom to love each other and to love the world. And a release that allows us to love the world. Because we couldn't do it on our own. So, here we have the loving of Jesus. Now, don't talk to me of love. God says, not unless that in verse 17, you see your brother in need and you close your heart, do you really have God's love in you? That's pretty challenging, isn't it? If you see your brother in need, but close your heart. It starts by saying, you have got the world's goods. So obviously you've got the resources. You see someone else in need, and you basically say, it's their fault. They should have spent their money better. Look how they've wasted it. God doesn't write that down. God says, if you've got it and they need it, you share it. Now, we've had a bit to do with the Aboriginal community, and they take that to an extreme. They take that to an extreme. What's yours is mine, what's mine is yours, and that's it, and let's not worry about tomorrow. Now, there are other situations in Scripture that say, you know, be thoughtful. But this is a big challenge to us, and particularly a big challenge to us in the Western world, because we are so rich with resources. And those of you who saw the other night, you know, oh, we're so generous in sending our used clothes overseas. Did you see that? 40% of what arrives overseas is rubbish. It's either without buttons, it's torn or covered in bloodstains and vomit. And so they throw it out, and that's now causing a big problem in the sea. So it's not that generosity God's talking about. He's talking about giving what we have got. Something perhaps, that is of value to us that we are prepared to give. That's where the heart of love is. Not just getting rid of the rubbish we don't want. Giving something that is of value to meet the needs of another person. That's the Christian situation. Now, we need to be careful. We need to be careful because loving everyone. Oh, I have a lot. It may stop us from being specific. It's interesting, isn't it? Because what John says here is, if you see your brother in need, so there's someone that you see. It's not the whole world, oh, I love the world. It's there's a specific need. That's a challenge to us too, because we often judge the other person and say, oh, well, as I say, you know, they've wasted their money and that's it. We have an inescapable responsibility, our brother's need. But if we close our heart, like the murderer, no life. The miser, no love. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. I've said enough that love is not sentimental or a sentiment. And I've repeated what I had a couple of weeks ago. Love is not an uncontrollable emotion, but the devotion of our will. If God says to me to love, I need to direct my will on that, not just how I feel. This is what God is saying. This is what I need to be doing. I put John 10 there. Many of you learned that off my heart too. Jesus brings a new life and an abundant life. And when he does that, he brings a new way of living. And for some people, that new way of living is giving, not taking. We need to be careful because, again, we live in a world where we're able to take a lot. But we need to check how much we give. And even in money, to church or to other things, it's not actually always to reverse at what we give, but what we keep. We need to just check. Some people are very strict, oh, I give away a tenth. Or maybe you need to give away a 20th or a 30th or a half. And I say that to myself too. Friends, we need to be generous, loving people, known for our love. What converted the early world? Well, it was the preaching. But it was said, look how those Christians love each other. That's the challenge to us. And we talk theology, yep. But what we come back to is how much God loved us. How much we love other people. Yep, it's not marshmallowy. It's a focus of our will and a direction of our heart. Let's pray. Father, we are well aware that words are cheap. We are so aware that when we say to you, I love you, you say back to us, show me. And we ask our God that you would give to us situations that enable us to show you just how much we do love you by loving those around us. Yes, last week we were challenged to lead righteous lives because one day Jesus may come again and we wait. But today we are challenged to love with a depth of love that is often beyond human capability, but it's not beyond our ability with you. So we trust you, our God, to show us. Open our hearts, open our minds, open our purses and bank accounts, open our time restraints, open our talents. Lord, may we show our love in whatever way is appropriate to our brothers, to our sisters, and to this world. For we pray through Jesus. Amen.